Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph, the fourth line Mosav Rav Hamnuna. In the previous shir, we had learned in the Mishnah that the Mishnah says Yesh Ned B'Taych Neder V'Ein Shvua B'Taych Shvua. There's a Neder B'Taych Neder. One Neder could be effective on top of another Neder, whereas by Shvua the halacha is one Shvua cannot be effective on another Shvua. The Mishnah explained that the case of neder, the yesh neder b'taych neder, is really referring to naziris. That one could accept one naziris on top of another naziris. And we had a machlokes, Rav Huna and Shmuel, exactly what does the Mishnah mean when it says yesh nazir b'taych nazir. Shmuel's opinion was that if somebody said hareni nazir hayoyim, and then again he repeated himself hareni nazir hayoyim, he has to keep two terms of naziris. One term of naziris, 30 days, bring the kabbonis, and then begin again for another 30 days. Rav Huna disagreed with Shmuel. Rav Huna said that that case he would not keep two terms of naziris. Rather, the case that Rav Huna said is hareni nazir, yesh nazir b'toich nazir, is if somebody said hareni nazir hayoyim, and then he said hareni nazir l'mochor. So since, let's say, the first Naziris begins today, the second Naziris begins tomorrow, and we know, as we just said a moment ago, the minimum term of a Naziris is 30 days. So the second Naziris will be at least one day longer than the first Naziris. And once it's one day longer, the minimum amount of a Naziris is 30 days, he'll have to keep two terms. But according to Rav Huna, if somebody said, Hareni Nazir Hayoyim, Hareni Nazir Hayoyim, he would not keep two terms of Naziris. And the Gemara, beginning in the previous year, has brought Brises, Mishnayis, to challenge the opinion of Rav Huna. And now Rav Hamnuna brings another challenge to Rav Huna's opinion. Masa Rav Hamnuna. The Brises says, the Pasuk says, Nazir Lahazir, Mekansha Naziris Chal Naziris. One Naziris is effective on top of another Naziris. Shiyachal, for one could argue, v'loy dinhu, and say the following kal v'choymer. Umash shvua chamura, a shvua which is more stringent, and we'll see in a moment why shvua is more stringent. The halacha, as we learned in the Mishnah, is, ein shvua chalal shvua, naziris, which is not as stringent, lo koshke, and therefore one naziris should not be chal another naziris, tam loymer. That's why the pasuk says, nazir lahazir, to teach us, Mikansha Naziris Chal on Naziris, the one Naziris is Chal on top of another Naziris. Ask the Gemara, Hei Chidami, exactly what is the situation that this Brice is referring to? Ilema, if we'll say, Doma Hareni Nazir Hayoim, Hareni Nazir Lamacher, that's the situation that the Brice is telling us. We need a Pasuk of Nazir Lahazir to teach us that one Naziris is effective on top of another Naziris. Ask the Gemara Hakraboy, for that I need a pasuk. As we explained a moment ago, if one said, I'll be a Nazir today, and then the next Naziris is tomorrow, since there'll be that extra day that will start a new Naziris, and the minimum Naziris is 30 days, so of course he'll have to keep two terms. So the Achroinim, the Sefer Nidri's reason, asks an obvious question. In our previous year, we learned that Rav Huna said that we could perhaps argue that Hareni Nazir Hayoim, Hareni Nazir Lamacher should not be effective. What was Rav Huna's argument? He said because according to Rav Huna, if one were to make a shvua that he's not going to eat ta'anim, he's not going to eat figs, and then he makes another shvua that he's not going to eat ta'anim v'anovim, figs and grapes, Rav Huna says that that shvua would not be an effective shvua. So yesterday, asked the Sefarim, Chazanish asked this question also. The Gemara, Rav Huna is saying, it's not so obvious that Hareni Nazir Hayoim, Hareni Nazir Lamacher is effective. And today, our Gemara is saying, Boy Kro, I need a pasuk for this. Yesterday, we weren't sure, and today it's obvious. So Chazanish answers, it's not that it's obvious. He just explains, we don't need a pasuk for it. Because if we say that Hareni Nazir Hayoim, Hareni Nazir Lamacher is effective, why are we saying it's effective? Because it teaches us a fundamental concept in Hilchos Naziris. And we've quoted this Chazonish. The Chazonish says that Naziris brings a person to a certain status. A person with that status has to keep the halachas. One of the halachas is that you're not allowed to eat grape products, you're not allowed to become tamei, and you have to be a nazir for a minimum of 30 days. For that, I don't need a pasuk. It is or it isn't. So if it's an effective naziris, the Gemara is arguing, I don't need a pasuk. So that can't be what the pasuk is coming to teach us. Elalav, what must be the pasuk of nazir lahazir coming to teach us? That a person said, hareini nazir hayoim, hareini nazir hayoim, the ktani, and the Bryce is teaching us, naziris, chal anaziris. So how could Rav Huna say that an argument to Shmuel, that if somebody says, hareini nazir hayoim, hareini nazir hayoim, it's not effective? Says the Gemara loy. As we learned in the previous year, even Rav Hamnuna, who holds that Hareini Nazar Hayoim is not valid, will agree that if somebody says Hareini Mekabel Shtei Naziris, Harei Olai Shtei Naziris, since they come simultaneously, so there's no way I could choose one Naziris above the other Naziris, and even Rav Huna will hold that that's effective. How do I know? Because I have the pasuk of Nazir Lahazir. So the Chazanish goes on with his explanation. He says, obviously, if somebody accepts Harei Olai Shtei Naziris, and he wants both Naziris at the exact same moment, they're both effective. Because I don't know which is first and which is second. Why do I need a pasuk? So the Chazanish explains, beautiful pshat, and it goes with his explanation of Naziris. He explains that what does Naziris mean? How are we to look at Naziris? We're to look at Naziris like a Hegdish. If we're Magdish a Behema, it becomes Hegdish. And then there are certain halachas. The same thing, if a person becomes a Nazir, he's Magdish himself. He becomes Hegdish. He becomes a Nazir. And the Torah gives certain halachas, what is the din with a person in that status. Says the Chazanish, just like you can't be Magdish a Behema that's already Hegdish. Can't be Magdish it. The same thing, you can't be Magdish a person that's a Nazir. Because he's already a Nazir. That's why Rav Huna says, even though the person says, Harei Olai Shtei Naziris, and we could theoretically argue, of course both are chal, both are effective, which comes first, which comes second, but maybe it should still not be valid, because you can't be two times Hegdish, and you can't be two times Nazir. That's why Rav Huna needs a pasuk. So the Gemara began, that we would suggest, that Naziris is not chal on Naziris. Why? Because if by Shvuah, Shvuah is not chal on Shvuah, certainly by Naziris, which is less stringent than Shvuah, Naziris should not be chal on Naziris. Ask the Gemara, my chumrah, the Shvuah mi neder. What makes a Shvuah more stringent than a neder? Because as we know from our Mishnah, our Gemara, for the sake of our Gemara, we're calling Naziris a neder. Ilema, if you're going to suggest that the stringency of Shvuahs are, Mishum de chayla afil adovish ein by mamish, that a shvua doesn't have to be a tangible item, and that's what we learned. If somebody makes a shvua that he won't sleep, it's a valid shvua. Neder nami chomer. Neder also has a stringency, because as we learned, shekain chal ala mitzvah kereshus. The halacha is that a neder is chal on a to be mevatel a dvar mitzvah, and a shvua isn't. So why are we considering a shvua more stringent? Answers the Gemara, el mishum de ksiv, b'arba shvua, the Torah uses by Shvu, the words, in the Saras HaDibras, lo yanaka. And even though, as Tosus points out, our Gemara is speaking about a Shvuah bitui, somebody accepts something upon himself, the Torah uses the words lo yanaka by Shvuah shav, a Shvuah taken in vain, so it's really not the same subject, but it's all under the general category of Shvuah. And that's why the words lo yanaka bring the stringency to Shvuah. What does lo yanaka mean? So there's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this of the Aseres HaDibros, that one may not take, Lesisa Shem Lekech L'shov, Nizdaza Kol Haaretz, the entire world trembled. So we see how serious Shvuah is. Another pshat is that we know that if somebody Chas V'Shalom does an Aveira, he could do tshuva. The Torah says, the Aseres HaDibros, say by Shvuah Shav Lo Yanaka. Even if a person did Shuvah, he violated a Shvuah, and he does Shuvah Lo Yanaka, his slate is never wiped completely clean. That shows the Chumrah of Shvuah. The Ran, we're not going to go into the entire discussion of the Ran. But the Ran here has a very interesting discussion. Our Gemara, as we're about to finish the sugya, discusses Shvuah is not Chala Shvuah, Neder is not Chala Neder, Naziris is Chala on Naziris. The Ran goes into a discussion if a Neder could be Chala on a Shvuah, if a Shvuah could be Chala on a Neder. So he says the following, a very interesting Ran. The Ran says, if somebody made a Shvuah that he's not going to eat a piece of bread, and then he made a Neder that he's going to eat that piece of bread, is the Neder Chal or not? So he says it is Chal. Because a Shvuah is an Issa Gavra, as we've been learning, it speaks to the individual. The Neder speaks to the object, so it's apples and oranges, and they both could be Chal. And actually the Ran says this person is in trouble, because whatever he does, he'll be violating something. If he eats, he'll be over the Shvuah. If he doesn't eat, he'll be over the Neder. What is going to be the Halacha, says the Ran, if somebody made a Neder, and then he makes a Shvuah? Will the Shvuah be Chal on the Neder? So the Ritva says, and this is what would come to all of our minds at first thought, yes, the Neder is an Isser Cheftza, the Shvuah is an Isser Gavra, and certainly the Shvuah should be Chal on the Neder. Says the Ran, it's not Chal. And the Ran says a very big Chiddush. That's the Ritva's opinion. The Ran says it's not Chal. And he says a very big Chiddush. He says, yes, the Neder begins, as we have been discussing, we'll continue, Be'ezer Hashem, a Neder begins with Issa Cheftza. But now, I made a Neder. Whether to do something or not do something, it's immaterial. After I make the Neder, I now have an Isser about Yachal Dvari, that I'm not allowed to violate what I said. As we have been discussing, Bal Yachal, or Lavan in the Torah, or Isser Gavra, says the Ran that every Neder has in it a component of an Issa Cheftza, that's obvious, but it also has in it a component of an Issa Gavra. And therefore, if I make a Neder, I can no longer make a Shvuah afterwards, because it's like a Shvuah on top of a Shvuah, one Issa Gavra on top of another Issa Gavra, and therefore, says the Ran, even though a Neder is Chal on a Shvuah is not Chal on a Neder. Continues the Gemara. If somebody said, we learned in the Mishnah, Shvuah Shlo Yochel, Shvuah Shlo Yochel, somebody makes a Shvuah that he won't eat, he says it twice, so we learned in the Mishnah, because ein shvu chal a shvu, ein a chayev al achas. Omer Rava, says Rava, im nishal al harishayna, if somehow he has the first shvu annulled, shniya chal olav. The second shvu does come. That means that the second shvu, to use the yeshivish terminology, is not inexistent, it's hovering, it's waiting. And if the first shvu is annulled, then the second Shvuah could be Chal. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks Gvaldige Kasha. Kiva Eger asks the Sugyas in Masech Techulin Ein Esachal Alisser, tell us that even if we hold Ein Esachal Alisser, that doesn't mean that the second Isser is not there. The second Isser is there, it just can't be Chal. Give two examples. One example is, let's say someone's wife has a sister. So that woman is also to him because Achois Ishtai. Now his brother marries that woman. His brother marries his wife's sister, 100% mutter. So she becomes an Eishes Ach. So Ein Issa Chal al Isser tells us that she doesn't become Eishes Ach because there's already an Isser of Achois Ishtai. But the halach is, let's say his wife passes away and she's no longer Achois Ishtai, then the Isser Eishes Ach kicks in. Or another example is, we on Yom Kippur we're not allowed to eat. So let's say an animal dies on Yom Kippur, so becomes an Avela. It doesn't have an Issa Avela because it was already Asatas from before Yom Kippur, because we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Now Yom Kippur, it's Matzah Yom Kippur. There's no longer an Issa eating of Yom Kippur, so the Issa Avela kicks in. So asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, why should this be any different? I made two Shvuas. Yes, the first Shvuah prevents the second Shvuah from being Chal, but as soon as the first Shvuah is no longer on the scene, I had it annulled, the second Shvuah should automatically be Chal. What do I need Rava's Chiddush? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, Gevaldige Chiddush. We cannot compare an Isser of a Shvuah to all the other Isurim. An Isser of a Shvuah is a man-made Isser. It's not an Isser from the Torah. I made an Isser. I decided that I'm not allowed to eat this loaf of bread. So the Torah tells us that once this loaf of bread is Asr to me, I can't make it Asr again. It's already Asr. The Yisurim that we discussed, Yom Kippur, Nevela, Achais Ishta, Yeshasach, are not man-made Yisurim. They're Yisurim because the Torah calls them Yisurim. And therefore, we can't bring a raya from the sugya of Enes Achal Alisser to our sugya. So Rava brings a raya to his opinion from our Mishnah. Mamai, what's the raya? Middle like Tani, since our Mishnah doesn't say Chayev Achas, if we go back to the lashon of our Mishnah, by Shvua al Gabi Shvua, we look, V'achal Eino Chayiv al Achas. What does the Mishnah say, Eino Chayiv al Achas? It should say, Eino al Achas. To teach us, says Rava, V'ktani Eino Chayiv al Achas. Mishnah uses the only words, Eino Chayiv al Achas. Revocha hu delesle. It can't be effective, because the first Shvua is blocking it from being effective. Ki Mitchell al chaverta, but if the first one shall no longer be effective because they had it annulled, then chayla it is effective. Lishna chrina chiyuvahu deleka. What is the brisa teaching us? That the Mishnah teaching us there is no chiyuv if one violates the second shvua. Hashvua ika, but the shvua does exist. So I saw from the Machna Chraim and the Pirus Yosef, they say a beautiful nafgamina between the two versions of the raya from the Mishnah. What will be the halacha, according to Rava, asked the Machna Ephraim, if somebody wants to have the second shvua annulled before he had this first one annulled? According to the first lashon, the second shvua doesn't even come into creation until the first one is no longer on the scene. So you can't annul the second shvua, it doesn't exist. According to the second lashon, the shvua is here, just it's not able to give me a punishment. But it's here, and that's why theoretically, says the Machna Ephraim, I could have the second shvua annulled before the first shvua. There's an interesting machloikis, Shach and Rukivega. We know that they're really, and these aren't yet our sugyas, we're going to get into these sugyas of Mitzvah Shem later in the Masechta, there are essentially two ways of having a shvua withdrawn. One is Hatorah, which is what we've been discussing, Achochem is Matan Neder, which what that accomplishes halachically is that it annuls the shvua from the get-go. It was never a shvua. And then we have afara, a father, a husband, under certain circumstances, kimi mei for a shvua. When a husband or a father are mei for a shvua, they don't completely uproot it. They don't annul it. From here on in, it's no longer valid. Says the Shach, Rav's discussion that the second shvua could be effective after the first shvua is annulled is only by HaTorah, because that means the first shvua is no longer, so the second shvua could be chal. By HaFarah, which comes later, cannot, that halacha will not, Rava's halacha will not apply. Says, what's the difference if the second shvua was said the same day, or if it's annulled from the beginning, or it's annulled later on? If the first shvua is no longer in the picture, then the second shvua could be chal, and therefore makes no difference how the first shvua was withdrawn, whether through HaTorah or HaFarah. Now there's a very interesting shaila. The Rishonim discuss. Now that Rava is, the Nemuki Yosef begins with the following shaila. Now that Rava tells us that the second shvua is not completely meaningless, it only needs to wait until the first shvua is or isn't on the picture, says the Nemuki Yosef, when is that applicable? Is it applicable if the first shvua is a repetition of the second shvua? That means first, I made a shvua that I won't eat this piece of bread. And then I made another shvua I won't eat the piece of bread. So the second shvua can't be chal until the first shvua is no longer on the picture. What will be the halacha, asked the Numukah Yosef, if the second shvua was just the opposite of the first shvua? I made a shvua I'm not going to eat the piece of bread, and then I made a shvua I'm going to eat the piece of bread. Will Rava still say his din, that if the second shvua is here, and as soon as the first shvua is annulled, withdrawn, the second shvua could be chal? Or we'll rather say that since the second shvua is a contradiction to the first shvua, Rava will agree that that shvua is bechlal, not chal. Numukah Yosef wants to suggest that Rava is only speaking in a case where the second shvua repeats the first shvua, not when the second shvua is opposite of the first shvua. Now there's another interesting shaila. The Ritva says, according to this, if somebody makes a shvua, and then he repeats a shvua, we know, as we discussed earlier in our shiur, and we discussed this when we learned the Mishnah, when somebody makes a shvua shav, he's chayiv malchus. for taking a shvuah in vain. Says the Ritva, if somebody says, I'm not going to eat a piece of bread, and then he's making another shvuah, so till this Gemara, we would have said the second shvuah. Since ain't shvuah chal al shvuah, it should be considered a shvuah shav. Now, maybe it's not a shvuah shav, because theoretically, that shvuah always can be chal, if the first shvuah will be annulled. And therefore, when a person makes the shvuah, I can't give him asra, I can't give him a warning, he's doing an avera, it's asra safik. It may not be avera, the shvuah may ultimately be chal. So the Ritva first wants to say, we're not sure about what's the din by asra safik. The Ritva is very bothered with this. And then the Ritva says, perhaps, since hataros nedarim is not in my hands, it requires a chacham to be matan neder, that's not called asra safik. Asra safik is only where I am controlled, will or I won't, to do an avera. Here, I'm certainly doing an avera. Maybe the chacham will be matter, that doesn't mean I didn't do an avera. But then the Ritva says, all of this doesn't really work. And he says, true, according to Rava, if Rava says that the shvuah is still theoretically here, we can never give a person a malchus for shvuah shav, because there's always the chance that the second shvuah will not have been taken in vain. We have the Ritva has the same discussion in Masach the Shvuos, but it comes to a different conclusion. There, the Ritva says that it's considered a shvuah shav. So the Achroinim try to reconcile these two Ritvas, and Rav Shmuel Rozovsky has a very interesting approach. It goes back to our Namuka Yosef. He says, if the second Shvuah is a repetition of the first Shvuah, that's the Ritva Masecht and the Dorim. There we'll say that since the second Shvuah is not contrary to the first Shvuah, so it's not really something that I said that's in vain, so impossible to do. There's only an issue, why did I say it? So there we have our Gemara, maybe it'll end up being a Shvuah. But says Rav Shmuel, the Ritva Masecht, the Shvuas, is referring to a situation where the second Shvuah is the opposite of the first Shvuah. The first Shvuah was I won't eat, the second Shvuah is that I will eat. Even though, and he obviously disagrees with Ritva, with the Nemuka Yosef, the second Shvuah may be Chal, but when I said the second Shvuah, it was such an obvious statement and declaration in vain. First I made a Shvuah I'm not eating, then I made a Shvuah that I am eating, that's what Ritva says, I'll get Malchus for Shvuah Shav. Lamai Hilchasa, L'chad Rava. Dama Rava, Nishal Rishayna, if the first Shvuah is annulled, also L'shnei Tachteh. Lema Mesaila, and the Gemara wants to bring a ride to this. Mi Shanader Shtei Naziris. If somebody accepts two Naziris, Umana Es Rishayna, and he counts the first one, and like the Ran explains, the one that's trying to bring a raya from this brisa obviously holds like Rav Huna, that says if somebody says Hareni Nozer Hayoyim, Hareni Nozer Hayoyim, we go back to our beginning of Ashir, the second Naziris is not Chal. But still tells us the brisa that if somebody said Hareni Nozer Hayoyim, and then he said Hareni Nozer Hayoyim, or Manas Rishoina, and he kept the first Naziris, and then the Hifish Karbon, and then afterwards he even takes away, sets aside Kabonis as the conclusion of his Naziris, then the Nishal, and he has the first Naziris annulled, also Loi Shnei B'Rishayna. So we see that even the Ran, who holds that Hareni Nozer Hayoyim, is not effective, will agree that in a situation that the first Naziris is no longer here, because I had it annulled, then the second Naziris is Chal. Rav is Din. So as the Gemara, there's no Raya. Because as we said earlier, this price might be referring to a situation, Shekivel Shtei Naziris V'Basachas, that even Rav Huna agrees that if somebody says, Harei Olai Shtei Naziris, the halacha is he has to count 30 days, bring his kabonis, and then count another 30 days, teaches us the brisa that in this situation, that if somebody said, Harei Olai Shtei Naziris, and he kept the 30 days, and set aside the kabonis, and then had the first Naziris annulled, he won't have to keep another 30 days. That will be in the place of the first 30 days. But perhaps in a case, according to Rav Huna, we said, Hareni Nozer Hayoyim, which according to Rav Huna, the second Naziris is not effective. Even if he has the first Naziris annulled, he still doesn't have to keep any Naziris, because according to Rav Huna, it could be that second statement is a meaningless statement. However, says the Ran, even though the Gemara attempted to bring a raya from the Braisa and wasn't successful, the halacha does remain like Rava, that if somebody says two shvuas, and the first shvua gets annulled, the second shvua is chal. Says the Mishnah. Stam nedarim lahachmir. If somebody makes a neder, and we don't know what he means, and the Mishnah is going to give us many examples, we're machmir. So, firstly, the Rishonim discuss what does it mean that we don't know what he meant. So there's a few pshatim. One pshat is, simple pshat. The person expressed the neder, and then we ask him, what do you mean? He says, I don't remember. So he says, we have to go to Chumrah. We have to give it the most stringent interpretation. Another pshat the Rishonim say, istam nedarim lahachmir, is we ask him what you mean. So he says, I meant whatever Chazal wanted me to mean. I meant whatever Chazal wanted it to mean. When I said this pshat previously, people didn't understand. Chassidus Shehidim could understand it better. When somebody does a mitzvah, they say L'shem Yichud, so they don't know all the kavanas. So they say, I have all the kavanas that Chazal want me to have. So the same thing here. I meant whatever Chazal want me to mean. So we go L'chumrah. Now there's a very fundamental machloikis in understanding this concept of Stam Nedarim L'Hachmir. Machloikis Rishonim V'Achroinim. Some Rishonim and Achroinim explain that since Nedarim is a Daraisa, and we have a rule throughout Shas, Sofik Daraisa L'Hachmir, that's why we say Stam Nedarim L'Hachmir. The Rosh doesn't accept that explanation. The Rosh says that what does Stam Nedarim L'Hachmir mean? This person obviously made a declaration. He obviously is intending to become, to make a neder. So obviously he wants it to be chal. Otherwise, ain't all the mighty dvar vatala. People don't just speak for no good reason. And that's why Stam Nedarim L'Hachmir. Not that it's specifically connected to Sofik Daraisa L'Hachmir. U'Piroshim L'Hakel. Here too, there's a Mechloikus Rishonim, how to explain Pirushim L'Hakel. Some Rishonim explain that if I make a neder, and as I'm saying a neder, I add a stipulation, we accept the stipulation even if it brings a leniency into the nether. However, most Rishonim have a different interpretation of Purusha L'Hakel. I made a nether. And now, much a while after I said the nether, I meant the nether l'kula. The halacha is that I have a right to say that interpretation. And as the Rishonim point out, and it will become clear in our Mishnah, even though the interpretation, the kula digger interpretation, is very far-fetched, and therefore there should be a real suspicion that's not really what he meant. It's a far-fetched suspicion. Or Pirushim L'Hakel, the Torah says that if I say that's what I meant, since I'm the one that created the neder, that's the way the Rishonim explained, I have a right to define what I meant. Says the Mishnah Ketzad. Hareo like Kibasim Aliyach. I said, as we've been learning, that the concept of Atfasa, I say this piece of meat should be like Basim Aliyach. Now Basim Aliyach can mean one of two types of meat. It could either mean carbon meat, because carbon meat we know how to be salted. And as the Mishnah says, some gears in the Mishnah, specifically the shlomim meat was particularly salted. Why was the shlomim meat particularly salted? Because the shlomim meat is the meat that could be eaten for the longest time, 2 days and one night. They didn't have refrigerators. So how did they keep the meat fresh? They salted it. So it could mean carbon meat, or they also used to salt the meat that they brought for Avodah Zarah. Now, as we've been learning, hatfasa could only be bedover hanodr, not bedover haoser. A carbon shlomim particularly, is a dover hanodr. Avodah Zarah is a dover haoser. So when I said kibasim meliach, did I mean shlomim? Did I mean Avodah Zarah? Kibasim meliach. Or I said kiyayin nesach. Again, what does yayin nesach mean? It could be meat, wine that's poured on the mizbeach, which is a dover anodr, or it could be wine that's poured for Avodah Zarah, which is a dover asr. Im b'shlo shlomim nodr, if I meant the carbon shlomim, asr, it's a dover asr. Im b'shlo avodas kachavim nodr, if I meant the avodas kachavim, it's mutter. Bim stam, if I didn't interpret, we go l'chumra. And again, the Rishonim point out, even though typically when one says yayin nesach, he usually means Avodah Zarah, stam nedarim l'hachmir, tell us to be machmir and say that he meant the wine poured on the mizbeach, not the avodah zarah wine. Even though in most people's vocabulary, yayin nesach means avodah zarah. Ask the shalman nedarim a gevaldig kasha. We had a sugya a number of days ago. Rami Bachama asked the shayla. Somebody has meat, and he has shlomim meat after the melicha. Another question was, what does he mean when he has the shlomim meat? The ikra kamatvis, the essential of the meat, which is shlomim, and it's a davar another, or does he mean at the current status, which is already after the malicha, after the hakrava, after the zrika, which it's regular meat? Why don't we bring a raya from our Mishnah? When was the shlomim meat salted? After the zrika. Yet the Mishnah is calling it a davar hanadar. So don't we see that if you're being matvis at shlomim meat, even after the zrika, you'd be ikrei kamatvis? Says the Shalman in the Dorim, and we're going to have the same concept again soon. Says the Shalman in the Dorim, basa maliach is a word. Basa maliach is another way of saying karban shlomim. So it doesn't refer to a status before malicha, before zrika, after zrika. It's another way of saying shlomim. Shlomim, if I say harei basa zek shlomim, it's certainly not fos b'davar hanadar. There are two types of cheirim. There's what's known as cheirmei kohanim, that I go and I donate, make something cheirim, it becomes the property of the kohanim. And there's cheirim bedekabayis. I go and I make it the property of hegdish. Obviously, bedekabayis is a davar hanadar. Cheirmei kohanim is not a davar hanadar. It's their personal property. It's a davar hamutar. So again, I said harei like a cheirim. That's the way I said the hatfasa. Im kecherim shul shemayim, if I meant cherim shemayim, cherim for the bedek abayis, osur, it's a valid nether. If I meant cherim shul kahanim, mutter, because it's davra mutter, so it's not a nether. Vim sosam, if I didn't declare what I meant, stam nedarm lahachmer, and it's osur. Here too, Tosfos says the exact same question. It is an interesting din regarding cherim kahanim. If I go and I say that this item is a cherim kahanim, until it gets into the hands of the Kohanim, it has a din like Hegdish. Only after it becomes the Kohen's does it have a din that it's the Kohen's private chulin property. So the question again is, when I said Cherim Kohanim, maybe I meant at the point where it's still Hegdish. So Tosfos says, when somebody uses the words Cherim Kohanim, he means after it's in the Kohen's property. And that's why we can't bring a raya to Rambam Becham Mishaila. Because here we see Cherim Kohanim means after we gave it to him. So shouldn't that be a raya that when I say Shlomim after the Zrika means the current status? Because again, we're talking about words. And the words Cherim Kohanim, says Tosfos, always means after it's in the Kohen's hands. Again, somebody does that fossa in the following manner. He says, a raya like Kamaisa. This should be like Maisa. If he means Kamaisa Behema, we know that every tenth animal, after a person has a herd of animals, he has to take the animals through a door, and every tenth animal is Maisa Behema, which is a davar another osur. Vim shal goyrin, mutter. If it's regular truma, as we learned already a number of times from the beginning of this perek, the halacha is mutter. Because as we explained, truma, maisa from produce is not considered a davar another, it's considered a davar osur. And again, to explain why, we said a number of reasons. One is because the reason that this is mutter or us is because the Torah prescribed Kohanim may eat it, not Yisraelim. So it's not something that I created. It's a din from the Torah. Another pshat that Rambam says is because truma is not something that I can make anything into truma. It's only where the Torah said truma is applicable. Or the Rosh and Tosfos explain that produce begins as tevel. Nobody's allowed to eat it. Then we separate the truma. The truma remains osur to the Yisrael. So it's not something that's mutter and became osur. That's a davar hanadar. It was always osur to me, the Yisrael. That's why it's considered a davar osur. The Rishonim also discuss, why is Maisa Behema considered a davar hanadar, not a davar osur? So certainly according to the Shittas, according to the opinions that say that the animal is not considered Maisa until it goes through the door and we give it a clap or a piece of red paint on it, that it's the Maisa. So it certainly depends on my action. But even according to the opinions that you don't have to go through that process, and you don't even necessarily have to count 10, 1, 2, 3, 10, you could just take an animal and say, this is the Meiser animal. But still, it never becomes a Meiser animal until I declare it as the Meiser animal. And moreover, until it's declared, the halacha is unlike produce. The halacha by produce is that I have produce that I didn't take off trumas and Meisers. Those produce is tevel. I'm not allowed to eat it. So chiv misa. By meiser, chiv karas. By meiser, it's different. By meiser, let's say I have a whole herd of animals. I didn't take off meiser behem, and I take one of the animals and I shecht it to myself. There's no din of tevel. What makes him to Maisa Behema? My declaration. That's why it's considered a Dover HaNodr. Vimstam, if we didn't say what he meant, awesome. Again, Harei like a Truma. If somebody says Harei like a Truma, if he said Ketrumas HaLishka, if he said that it's like the Truma of the Lishka, the coins, the Maxis HaShekel, is a Dover HaNodr, Im Trumas HaLishka Nodr, Osir. Vim Shal Kairin, if it means Truma, regular Truma that we just discussed, Mutr. Vim Stam, if I didn't explain myself, Osir Divrei Remeya. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, and most Rishonim explain, Rabbi Yehuda and Remeya are not disagreeing on the concept of Stam Nedarim Lahakil Upurushim Stam Nedarim Lahakmir Upurushim Lahakil. All Rabbi Yehuda is trying to say is a fact. He's saying, Stam Truma be Yehuda Asura, Yehuda, where it was close to where the Beis HaMikdash was. So when people use the word Truma, they meant Trumas HaLishka. But Golul, which was further from the Beis HaMikdash, it's Mutter. Shein Anshin Golul Makir is Trumas HaLishka. They don't know anything about Trumas HaLishka because the Beis HaMikdash is not on their minds. They live so far from there. Now says the Gemara, a new opinion. And Mishnah, a new opinion. And as we're going to learn tomorrow's Shir, this opinion reflects the opinion of Lezer Bar Tzadik. Remei Rabbi Yehuda holds Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. Rabbi Lezer Bar Tzadik holds Stam Nedarim Lahakel. And therefore he says, Stam Charomim Bi Yehuda, if somebody says the word Cherim in Yehuda, and as we said earlier, it could mean Cherim Ei Kohanim, and then it's not a good neder. It could mean Cherim Ei Bedek Abayis, and it is a good neder. It's Mutter. Why do we say it's Mutarim? Because Stam Nedarim Lahakel, and we're going to define that he meant it Kohanim, and Kohanim is not an effective way. However, the Golul, in Golul, where nobody speaks about Chermei Kohanim, because Kohanim did not live in Golul. And I sort of mafarshim explain why didn't Kohanim live in Golul. Two explanations. One's a very practical explanation. Kohanim had to be close to the Beis HaMikdash to do the Avodah. In those days, traveling was difficult. So to get from Golul to Yehuda was complicated. So Kohanim did not typically live anywhere but in Yehuda. Another pshat, a little more lomdish, is the Gemara says, Ritzua Yaitzis, there was a strip of land, being Golul to Yehuda, which wasn't Eretz Yisrael. We know that Chazal decreed that the Eretz Ho'amim, the Chutz La'aretz, is Metame. So a Kayin, who's living in Golul, and is traveling to Yehuda, is going to have to become Tamei. So that's why Kohanim never lived in Yehuda. A Yisrael can live in Golul, and he'll just never travel to Yisrael, to Yehuda, never become Tamei. So, Begolul Asurim, Shein Anshe Golul Makir Mischer Mekanim, since Kohanim did not live there, so when a person in Golul said Cherim, he obviously meant Cherim Bedek Abayis, because he doesn't think about Cherim Mekanim, there are no Kohanim in his vicinity. Now, there's an interesting Shaila that the Rishonim discuss. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik just taught us that a Jew that lives in Golul doesn't think about Cherim Kohanim. What will happen, asked the Rishonim, Machlokes Rishonim actually, you have a Jew in Golul, and he says, I meant Cherim Kohanim. What's going to be the halacha? Do we say, since our Mishnah says that nobody in Golul thinks about Cherim Kohanim, he can't say it? Or is our Mishnah only speaking about the usual situation? But in a case where a person comes and tells us, I meant Cherim Kohanim, even though there are no Kohanim living in our vicinity, he certainly could say that. Machlokes Rishonim. And the truth is, this Shaila is very relevant to us. There's a Shaila Shetshuvos HaRashba, Rishon, that says the following. Nowadays, unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So let's say somebody misspeaks, and he says, I'm being Magdish, a specific item. There's no Hegdish. Typically, when somebody says Hegdish, it becomes Hegdish for the Beis HaMikdash. What's going to be the halacha nowadays? Says the Rashba. Since nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so when somebody uses the word Hegdish, he obviously doesn't mean the Beis HaMikdash. Even if he used the word Hegdish, we interpret that he meant Stoka, and he doesn't have to worry that the item is Hegdish. It would only cause him a lot of headaches, because what would he do with an item that he's Magdish? There's no Beis HaMikdash to bring it to, and he has to watch it that it should remain in its Kedusha. Says the Rashba, it certainly doesn't mean Hegdish, because nobody speaks those terms, because there is no Hegdish. It's like the Jew in Golul. The Jew in Golul doesn't think about Cherim Kohanim, because there's no Kohanim. We don't think about the Beis HaMikdash, because unfortunately, there is no Beis HaMikdash. What the Rashba will hold if somebody says, I said the word Hegdish, and I meant Hegdish, even though I know there's no base of Mikdash, would depend on the Machlokes Rishonim that we quoted. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah says, Stam Nedarim L'Hachmer. V'tnan, ask the Gemara, there's a Brice that says, Sofik Naziris L'Hokil, that we make by Sofik Naziris. So how can we be Machmer here? Now what is the case, Sofik Naziris L'Hokil? So as we're going to learn more in tomorrow's Shem, it's Hashem. If somebody said there's a basket of produce, and somebody says if this basket of produce has in it 100 pounds of produce, then I'll be a Nazir. And now the basket is gone. So we never know, was there 100 pounds or not? So says the Brice, we'll make it. So how come our Mishnah says we'll machmer? So the Achroinim ask an obvious question. In that case, the person tied his Naziris to the basket. And if the basket is gone, so he might never have been a Nazir. We don't know. In our Mishnah, the person certainly said a Neder. We just don't know how to interpret it. So how do we compare the two cases? It's a kasha that the Keren Oira asks, a kasha that the Rebbe Naftali asks. So the Keren Oira answers a simple teretz. The case of Sofik Naziris L'Hachmer is not limited to the example that I gave. He says it's also the case like our Mishnah, where somebody expressed the Naziris. It's not clear, did he or didn't he accept the Naziris? And we say L'Hakel, so it's a kasha on our Mishnah. Rebbe Naftali says a more lomdisha teretz. Rebbe Naftali says like this, we go back to our Mishnah. Why did we say Stam Nedarim L'Hachmer? So the Rosh said, because Ein Adam Moitzit Dvar L'Vatol. If somebody made a Neder, he obviously wants to be under the terms of the Neder. So the same thing, if somebody said it's a Naziris, obviously he wants to be in the Nazir. So why by Naziris do we go L'Hakel, and by Nedarim do we go L'Hachmer? Amar Abzeira, so Abzeira answers, Loi Kasha. The Machloikis between the Brice and the Mishnah actually represents a Machloikis Tanoim. Ha Rebbe Elazar, Ha Rabbonin. And before we begin quoting the Braisa that teaches us the Machlokes Rebbe Elazar and Rabbanan, we just have to familiarize ourselves with an animal. There's an animal that comes up many times in Shas called a koi. Some pronounce it a kvi, some pronounce it a koi. It's all the same. It's an animal that Chazal were not quite sure, is it a behema? A behema has certain halachas. Or is it a chaya? What is nafkaminis between a behema and a chaya? A chaya requires kisu hadam. A behema doesn't require kisui hadam. And somebody was magdish, hamagdish chayosoi or behemtoi. So when most Rishonim explain, he wasn't magdish both his chayas and behemas. He was either magdish his chayas or behemas. So what's going to be the koi? We don't know if the koi is a chay or a behema. So Rabbanan hold, hegdish is a koi. We have to treat the koi like hegdish. Rebbe Elazar Omer, loy hegdish is a koi. The koi is not hegdish. Why? Because Manda Omer Memoina Mayel Besveika, the Rabbanan obviously hold that where a person has a suffix, he goes L'Chumra. So if there's a Shaila, if the Hegdish was effective not only on his Behemoth or his Chayas, but also on the Koi, the Rabbanan say Be Machmer. And therefore, they'll hold the same thing Gufanami Mayel. So if he has a suffix, if the Nedar was effective, he has a suffix if the Naziris was effective, we go L'Chumra and we say it was effective. However, Rebbe Elazar, who says, if a person doesn't include, when there's a shayla, did I include the koi? Did I not include the koi? We're mekel, and there it's only referring to my money. Gufoi, when it comes to my body, to my own self, I certainly care about myself, or I should care about myself more than I care about my property. And like Koshkein, to lemayel esfeiko, and that's why he says, Sofik Naziris Lahokal. Before we end the shir, there's a gevaldige kasha from the Nesivis. The Rabbanan say that if somebody is magdish his behema or his chaya, the koi is automatically included. As the Nesivis, doesn't this contradict one of the fundamental halachas of Shas? Hamaitzim chaveroi, all of haraya. I'm magdish, and we're not sure the extent of my hegdish. Did it include the koi? Did it not include the koi? Now the hegdish comes to me, and they say, yeah, you certainly included the koi. So Hegdish is trying to take the koi away from me. But it's Hamaitzim Chaveir Lavaraya. Hegdish should have the burden of proof that I included the koi. And here the Rabbanan are ignoring that very, very fundamental rule. Says the Nesivis, Hamaitzim Chaveir Lavaraya is only when there were two individuals. You come to me and you say, I owe you money. I say, I don't. So the burden of proof is on the Moitzi Mechaveri Olav Araya. Here we're referring to a situation that I'm Magdish. So if the Koy is Hegdish, I'm not allowed to have it in my possession. I'm not allowed to have any benefit from it. And that's why Hegdish is not under the general rule of a Moitzi Mechaveri Olav Araya. And even though it's not clear that I was Magdish the Koy, I have to treat it like Hegdish and give it to Hegdish.